Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 6th of September.
Welcome to you, the weak and the strong.
Christ Jesus welcomes us here.
Welcome to you, sinners and saints.
God's grace embraces us all.
Welcome to you, forgiven and forgiving.
The Spirit binds us in unity and love.
God of love and grace, bind us together this day. Even as you have welcomed us, so may we welcome one another. Speak to our hearts, that we may hear your words and heed your call to live as a community of acceptance and love. Amen.
The first Bible reading today is from Psalm 149. This psalm is in two parts. The first part is full of joy and rejoicing. It resonates with our idea of a kind and just God. The second part of the psalm is challenging because it speaks of vengeance and punishment. It appears that the psalm may have been written to celebrate a great victory. The psalmist speaks of praising God with our mouths while holding a weapon in our hands. Today we may struggle to praise God with our songs while wearing face coverings, but we can praise God in many ways. Today's weapon is the bottle of sanitizer that we use to kill this deadly virus.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in his honour and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to blind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Merciful God, help us become the people you have created us to be. We want to build communities of love, but it is easier to tear down than to build up. We long for the healing of the nations, but it's easier to harm than to heal. We want to bear our grief with dignity, but it is satisfying to parade our wounds for all to see. Bind up our spirits, gracious one, that we might reconcile with those who have caused us pain. Help us cast aside the things that chain our spirits, that we may be free to care for one another and fulfil your law of love. Amen. Hear the words of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. As we gather to fulfil the law of love, Christ is here to make us whole.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, who came to die.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20.
If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church, and if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them.
Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Some time ago I was talking to a retired minister who did some pulpit supply work in vacant congregations. He told me that he was popular in one congregation in Belfast, but he was asked to preach there on at least one Sunday every month. In its heyday, this church would have seated over 1,000 people at a Sunday morning service. Before lockdown, the average Sunday attendance was less than 20. I didn't contradict my colleague, but I did think he was stretching it a bit to claim that he was a popular preacher. In recent years, the attendance at many church services has been declining. Preachers have looked down from the pulpit on a Sunday morning on meagre congregations and seen the number of empty pews increasing year after year. This opening prayer, with familiar words, has been uttered possibly more as a reassurance for the minister than for the congregation. Lord Jesus, you have promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in our midst. We claim that promise today. In Gillygooly and Trinity, we have had empty pews since Sunday the 15th of March this year. Today, this preacher is grateful that people have returned to occupy some of those pews. Circumstances are such that in both congregations more people wanted to come to our services today than we were able to accommodate, and so we've had to introduce a rota system and have turns coming to church. Of course, the meaning of coming together in my name can be used in a much broader sense than that of coming to the church building for a worship service. In Matthew's Gospel, the words, "where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them," appear in the context of the resolution of a dispute. Or to be more specific, they appear in the context of a broken relationship where someone has been hurt or offended or sinned against. Jesus promises to be there in resolution of that situation. Coming together in my name includes any coming together of Christian people, drawn together for whatever reason, in response to the love of God in Jesus Christ. What matters is the goal, the purpose, and the spirit of the event. Whenever we come together in any situation to serve and glorify God, it is in the name of Jesus. In church or out of it, in prayer or in service, in formal events or informal events, when we come together and share the Spirit of Christ, we can rely on the promise, "I am here in the midst of them." Today, let us hear these words in a new context. Let us marvel once more at the humility of the Lord of life and glory, who keeps his word, even to the least and the last among his followers. Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you that we are a people who have inherited a remarkable story.
We thank you for the spiritual discernment of your people and for their zealous attempt at faithfulness through times of trial and temptation. We rejoice in the souls who have glorified your name, not just the famous ones, but the long forgotten, ordinary people who have lovingly kept the faith.
We thank you for the inspiration of the Old Testament, which we have inherited, even though we played no part in its costly formation, for its revealing stories and its poetry, its admirable laws and prophetic calls for justice and mercy. We are deeply indebted. We thank you for the many things that prepared the way for your greatest act of salvation revealed in the new.
We thank you with wonder for Jesus, for his humble birth, his inspired life, his enlightened teaching, his inclusive compassion, his redemptive suffering and death, and the surprise of his resurrection and commissioning of his disciples.
We thank you for that daring band of men and women who spread their faith in Christ wherever they went. We thank you for the succession of witnesses through the centuries who have preached Christ crucified and risen, and have made his love real by their practical faith and love. For those special souls whose faith prepared our mind and heart for Christ, and whose encouragement has nurtured and expanded our vision of what it means to be a Christian today.
Giver of every good and beautiful gift, to you belongs our gratitude and our praise, yesterday, today, and forever.
Today we pray for the Church and the world.
Loving God, friend of the neglected and the despised, friend also of the cherished and honoured, we offer to you our prayers for this world for which Christ gave his all.
We pray for the overthrow of the arrogant and cruel, and for discontent in the souls of the greedy and the careless.
We pray for the uplifting of the meek and merciful, and for the encouragement of the poor and the pure.
We pray for the recovery of the bruised and the lost, and the peace of those who thirst for righteousness.
We pray for the feeding of the hungry in body or spirit, and for the healing of those who are diseased in body or mind.
We pray for the comfort of the suffering and the grieving, and for the befriending of the lonely, timid, or socially awkward people.
We pray for the humbling of the Church if it becomes proud, and for courage wherever it is shunned or persecuted.
We pray for the strong and the weak in this congregation, and for the spiritual health of all other churches in the community.
Holy God, you are more eager to give than we are to receive. Deal with us, your servants. Remove everything that clutters our souls to make way for all the new blessings you have in store for us.
Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Consummate. that she on earth hath union with God the Three in One, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.